Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. It is early. I think 2:30 or 3 in the morning. Saturday, August 26th, 2017. And I am broadcasting to you again from Rapid City, South Dakota. Been signing books at the Central States Fair. Great set of vendors. Terrific folks, and lots of new readers, lots of old readers coming up to say hi. It's been a lot of fun. But we have lots to cover. We have lots to cover this morning. And the first thing I want to do before I get into what is going to comprise this show, and there's loads of interesting tidbits and not-so-tidbits that I think you're going to gaggle and perhaps choke on. This morning, I want to extend both condolences and hopes that to all our friends in Texas. We got lots of listeners down Texas way, and right now, many of you, there's like 5.8 million people from Corpus Christi to Galveston along the Texas coast, the lowlands toward the Gulf of Mexico, and they are just getting hammered by Hurricane Harvey. And not only are they getting hammered by Hurricane Harvey, and I'm sure most of you have now seen this on the news. I mean, you got a Cat 3, Cat 4 storm that pretty much came out of nowhere, 72 hours from the time it was classed as a tropical storm to the time it was a Cat 3, Cat 4, and making landfall, I believe, at Rock Point, Texas, between Corpus Christi and Galveston. They're expecting, this is just unbelievable numbers, 40 to 55 inches of rain over the next 3 or 4 days. And I want you folks to think about that. I mean, most of you, if you are 6 feet tall, I mean, put your hand right about your chest. And that is how much rain these poor people are going to get hammered with over the next 3 or 4 days, not to mention 8 to 12 foot storm surges plus high tide, not to mention, you know, 130 to 160 mile an hour wind gusts. I mean, it's, the worst of all worlds. And the storm, which normally would pass kind of over them and keep going inland and that would be it, is going to hover right around there. There's one weather model I was looking at that actually, the storm turns around, goes back out into the Gulf, re-intensifies, and then makes landfall again. In any event, I hope it is nowhere near as bad as the forecasters are making it for you folks. Stay safe, stay dry, stay warm. Hopefully most of you have gotten out of there and gotten inland. And those of you who haven't, you probably won't be listening to me today because you're not going to have power for a while. But stay safe. That's all I can tell you, and I'm so sorry you poor people are going through that. I mean, what a mess. What a mess. So, anyway, all of you folks listening to me around the country, why don't you guys keep your, and gals, keep your ears tuned for where you can send some help for these people. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people are going to lose everything. A lot of other people are going to lose almost everything. Hopefully, nobody's going to lose their life. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some injuries and stuff. There's 5.8 million people in the face of this kind of storm. It's just the odds are the odds. Whether a tree falls on you or a power line gets you or whatever, some bad stuff's going to happen. But keep your ears and eyes tuned. I'm sure there will be on national media And I don't know of any myself, or I'd give them to you right now, places where you can send some money, clothing, canned food, you know, who knows what you might be able to send, clothes that you're going to bring down to Goodwill, you might be able to send down there. People are going to lose all their possessions, including their clothing, because our fellow Americans are going to need our help down there. This is a big friggin' disaster in the making, and a very, very unusual storm event in all sorts of ways. For the rest of us, you know, we're going to watch it on the news, and I guess at some point when these two high-pressure systems kind of part and that storm can finally get out of there and get off the heads of those poor people down in Texas, some of us are going to get some rain and some gusty winds and who knows, well, you know, the usual storm type thing, and we're going to pay some more money for gas at the pumps because all the refineries are shutting down, have shut down, in fact, down there, and the the drill rigs out in the Gulf, I believe 30 or so have shut down. That's going to impact gas supplies and diesel supplies around the United States. So, you know, we're going to quote-unquote, put up with paying some more at the pump here for the next month or so. And we're going to put up, some of us, depending upon which way the storm tracks when it finally gets moving and gets out of Texas, we're going to put up with some rain and some wind and, you know, so what. But these poor folks down on the Texas coast, this is a big mess, folks. They're definitely going to need our help, so stay tuned. Okay. I'm going to skip the story today. I know everybody likes me to start off the shows with a story, and I've kind of made it a tradition over the last 6 months because all of you like it. But I'm going to skip the story because we got a lot to cover. I have to go sign books here in about 5 or 6 hours. And my story time was really taken up by alerting you to this burgeoning disaster down in Texas and how many of our fellow countrymen are going to need our help, and hopefully no, you know, you can always build new house, you know, you can always build new house. There's things that are worse, and hopefully things that are worse aren't going to happen or are going to happen to a minimal extent. I'll tell you what we're going to be covering this morning, and we're going to be covering a lot of stuff. I don't have a main story. I mean, there's many things I could do as a main story today, but there's so many things popping that are being kind of, shall we say, covered up, that are being concealed by the mainstream media and by the current events. I mean, the storm is taking up a lot of oxygen in the newsrooms. There's other things taking up oxygen. So there's many, many things happening around the planet, around the United States, and in this insanity, growing insanity, and violent insanity by the alt-left, that I'm just going to give you a dose. I'm going to give you like a machine gun staccato of information and bullet points today. None of them, actually, that's not true. Many of them connected. But I'm not going to connect them for you. I'm just going to give you what's going on. First, I'm going to revisit some stories and fill in some blanks on shows I have done over the last 6 months. Last week, I talked about the real intent of the alt-left in going after the Confederate statues. And it has nothing to do with racism, slavery, equality, Confederate statues, the Confederacy. It's all crap. That's all crap. It's a red herring. It's a smokescreen for an attack on the Constitution. And, you know, along those lines, the only PC way for people to look at the Civil War is that it was a fight to end slavery. Well, let me tell you, folks, it was not a fight to end slavery. As many of you know, I am absolutely enthralled with and a student of American history, particularly in the 1800s and 1900s. Let me give you a couple little facts here, which I think you'll find astounding. First of all, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, who many say is the greatest president in our history, and he may well have been, I don't know. But, you know, Abraham Lincoln was a flawed individual. Just like all of us, just like every president we've ever had, perhaps the least flawed being George Washington, the least inclined to exercise power, the one president most inclined to uphold civil liberties, individual rights, and the true values of America was Washington. They had to beg him to be president to begin with, and then their begging didn't matter because he stepped down at the end of his second term and said no. You know? The guy was great. Of course, that doesn't save him from being under attack by the alt-left right now because he was a slave owner 5,000 years after the descendants, after the alt-left as descendants of the ultimate slavers 5,000 years ago in Africa and all across the world, including, by the way, Native Americans here in America. There was slavery in America long before the white man got here, folks. You know, he had the blemish on him of being a slave owner at his plantation in Mount Vernon. Lincoln. Let me tell you some interesting facts about Lincoln. Number one, Lincoln was a firm believer in the Union. The Confederate States, although it's popular and it's PC, and because the left controls speech, right? Words mean something. Words create thought. Thought creates perception. Perception creates information. Information motivates action. It's real simple. And they're really good at seizing on words. The Republicans, the conservatives, are really bad at seizing on words, other than Trump, right? Trump has the gift of having little, he can come up with these little ditties that stick. Very interesting. But Lincoln was also concerned with freeing the slaves, just so you know, because the Republican Party wanted their votes. That's right. You know, in the emancipation of slaves lay a treasure trove of voters, and the Republican Party wanted those votes. In addition, there was an economic factor. Okay, the North, for all its industrial might, needed the natural resources of the South to fully exercise and continue its industrial might. There was an economic factor. There was Lincoln's, and by the way, I'm not taking anything away from the fact that he was a firm believer in freedom for slaves. That's not the point here. All I'm saying is that although his cake may have been slavery, there were lots of layers of icing on it. And the same is true for the Confederacy. Many of the Confederacy, and I have talked about this before, did not fight to continue slavery. In fact, some of the officers, like Beauregard, and I did a show on Beauregard back in, let's see, it must have been right around the first or second show in June, if you want to go back and listen to it. I'm sure you can call it right up. But Beauregard was a Confederate general. He was the hero of Bull Run. He was also, he served the United States Army with distinction in the Spanish-American, the American-Mexican War. And he also was the commandant of West Point. Most people don't know that. He also was not a slave owner. He went to the Confederacy out of a sense of loyalty to his home of Louisiana and because he was a believer in states' rights. I don't know how many of you know this, but the Constitution allows states to secede. That's right. The Constitution allows states to secede. In fact, Lincoln, in trying to bring the southern states to heel, was really trampling on their constitutional right to detach themselves from the Union. And I'm not going to get into a big philosophical thing right now on whether it was right, wrong, and different. I'm just giving you facts. What's more important is that although it is PC, because it gives the alt-left foundation to attack these Confederate statutes, to attack, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this here in just a moment, to attack the Jefferson and Washington memorials because they were slavers, and to eventually, because Washington and Jefferson were involved in the Constitution, to attack the Constitution. Listen to last week's show. But the battle, the Confederacy and the Union, the Civil War, as we call it, was in its essence not about slavery. I know you will find that shocking because the left has controlled education and they have controlled thought and they have controlled words, and everybody thinks that the Civil War was fought over slavery. Slavery was one component. It may have been the catalyst component, but it was just one component of what we call the Civil War. And so we are clear. The Civil War was not a civil war, folks. It was not a civil war. A civil war, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some prognostications, some forecasts by forward-thinking gurus about a coming second, quote-unquote, civil war here in the United States as part of this show, which is why I'm giving you this as foundation. A civil war is when a society fights within itself. Think about that. It's when a society fights within itself. There are opposing factions seeking to control the same government. And think through history, think about the civil wars that have been fought just in the last 30, 40 years, and you will see that I am correct. It is when one faction or the other, whether it's the rich or the poor, the left or the whatever you want to call it, they have a battle over who is going to control the government. I emphasize the word the. The Civil War in American history was not about the control of the government in Washington, D.C. Not at all. It was really a war. I can't think of a better word. I'm sure all the lefties will get all over me for this, but I'm using it in historical context. It was a war of liberation. The southern states wanted to liberate themselves from the government in Washington and establish their own. That is not the same as a civil war, where the southern states would have sought to control the government in Washington. This is a really important distinction, a really important historical distinction, and one more fact of history that the alt-left has managed to wipe off the pages of history books. But that is what it is. The next thing I want to talk about this morning, and I'm going to get into why I talked about it here in just a moment. I've gotten several emails from listeners, and I guess they've heard on various news channels, and I've had it on my shows about the relaxation of the rules of engagement, which is a major component now to our sudden success against ISIS. You know, Obama dragged his feet, I think quite purposefully, in taking out ISIS for 4 years and in lying to us about who they really are, what they really are. You remember his famous words, the Islamic State is not Islamic. I mean, you can't make that up. That's his actual words. Google it up. Some of the rules of engagement. I did a show, and I believe it was right around the end of April. If you put in extortion 13, you can pull up my show on the loss of a Chinook helicopter with 30 or so special ops guys. Worst day for American special ops in history. and why that occurred. It's a fascinating story. I have my personal opinions that it was a payoff or payback or some kind of quid pro quo for the takeout of Osama bin Laden several months prior. But, you know, I have no proof. It's just everything fits too neatly, way too neatly. Too many mistakes were made by people who don't make mistakes for that chopper to be shot down. You should really listen to that show. But let me tell you that the rules of engagement at that time definitely contributed to the downing of that helicopter and have absolutely been the cause of many deaths, many fatalities, and many maimings and permanent injuries to American and allied forces over in the Mideast. And these rules of engagement were propagated by, oh yeah, those guys, Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, Barack Obama, and Valerie Jarrett. Huh. And to a lesser extent, Mr. Clapper, who I'm going to talk about in just a moment. Mr. Clapper and Mr. Brennan. So, to review for you some of the rules of engagement, and I talked about them extensively in that show back in April, some of the rules of engagement which Trump and his new military have now ditched, thank God. Thank God for America and thank God for our armed forces fighting with both hands tied behind their back under Obama on purpose. I mean, when you don't want to win, you make sure your army can't win. Huh. Yeah, no coincidence there. So these were some of the old, these are just some of the old rules. No night or surprise searches. Villagers must be warned prior to searches. U.S. forces cannot engage the enemy if civilians are present, no matter what. Troops can fire at an insurgent, not terrorist, knows the wording even, can fire at an insurgent if they catch them placing an IED, that's a roadside bomb, but not if they're walking away from placing an IED. Think about that one. Troops may only engage an enemy fighter if they see a weapon and the enemy fighter has fired first. Those are just some of them. Those are now gone. They're where they belong. They should have never existed. You don't saddle your army, if you really want to win a war, with rules, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, with rules like this. Which brings us to Mr. Brennan, Obama's appointee for the head of the CIA. I've done a lot of shows that involve him or are on him. Just type John Brennan, that's B-R-E-N-N-A-N, into the search bar. You can listen to him. So what is coming out now, and of course the mainstream media is not covering it at all, is Brennan actually colluded with foreign spies to defeat Trump in the election. And his motivation, besides the fact he is A, converted to Islam in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia in 2009, and B, was appointed by Barack Obama, and C, is an alt-left progressive, and D, wanted to keep his job, which he was promised under Hillary Clinton if she won. Those are all his motivations. You know, you have to have motive, right? Motive to be a traitor. It doesn't just happen out of circumstance. There has to be motive when a crime is committed. And he committed many crimes. Brennan teamed up with British spies, folks. Estonian spies. And other spies. Other foreign spies. Specifically to cripple Trump's candidacy. He had them, or extolled them, or assisted them in coming up with phony intelligence, such as the golden shower stuff. You remember all that fake dossier about five ladies of the night urinating on a bed while Trump sat there in a hotel in Russia? I mean, absolutely spun out of whole cloth. He used those to then create leaks to media to undermine Trump during the last days of his candidacy leading up to the election, and later used them as the fulcrum to try and get a special investigator going. He worked closely with James Comey. Oh, gee, here's Jim Comey again, right? Who also leaked classified intelligence, the two were peas in a pod, so that he could get a special prosecutor. And who, by the way, has now kind of shown his colors by accepting speaking and teaching engagements at Harvard, you know, extreme left-leaning Harvard, and several other schools as his new avocation. Now that he's no longer, thank God, FBI director. Here's another one that you didn't know, which has just come to light. Did you know that Mr. Brennan, remember, he was appointed by Mr. Obama, and I've always said Obama is an alt-left Islamist. Mr. Brennan, in addition to converting to Islam, it now comes out is a was and probably still is in the closet, a supporter of the American Communist Party at the very height of the Cold War. That's right. A supporter of the American Communist Party at the time when Russia and America were truly faced off. I mean, we ain't friends with them now. But this is the Cuban Missile Crisis time period. Anyway. He also used foreign news sources to have the people, the alt-left and or Islamists, or alt-left Islamist folks that he peopled the CIA with, who we will come to find out, as Jeff Sessions burrows in, are in fact the leakers, the deep state leakers of all this nonsense with Trump and, you know, unbelievable things which do nothing but undermine national security, like Trump's discussions with foreign heads of state, jeopardizing, I might add, the security of us all. That includes me, you, and your family. I'm going to talk more about this in future shows, but these are some very interesting, they're startling revelations which have come to play, which the mainstream, which actually no media is covering whatsoever. And all of this is going to play in what I project to be the one of the biggest scandals that may end in actual treason trials and certainly in trials of felony for several high-ranking members of the Obama administration and perhaps for Hillary Clinton. I think Obama is going to be smart enough to kind of slime his way out of it. But nobody's covering it, and you need to know. The next thing I want to go over with you very quickly this morning, take a look at the politics sections of the articles I've posted. Take a look at them every week. There's a whole bunch of elections coming up, folks. You can pick and choose who you want to support on the Republican side. Personally, I'm about for every insurgent that's trying to take out one of these rhino senators or congressmen. But that's a choice you have to make. However, I'm going to be posting their fundraising stuff and articles about them under politics with increasing frequency beginning this week. So check the politics section, not only to stay informed, so you know what elections are taking place where and what import they have on your life, and they do. I mean, let me tell you that the senatorial election in Montana to take Tester out directly affects you and your family, as does taking out McCaskill in Missouri, as does taking out Debbie Wasserman Schultz in Florida. Maintaining and, in fact, increasing the Republican majority, particularly with conservative Republicans who replace the rhinos who get primaried out, is of utmost importance to you. Utmost importance. This is not some faraway election that doesn't affect you. You bet it affects you. Just take a look at the one vote that stopped the Obamacare repeal, which is going to cost you and your family, and I don't care if you're on private insurance, Obamacare, or what, it's going to cost your family big time this year in 2018. One rhino vote. Thank you, John McCain. So it affects you. Every single one of these elections, no matter how far or distant from you or in what state or precinct or congressional district, affects you. That means you need to get involved. Now, obviously, it's pretty difficult for somebody who lives, let's say, in Arkansas to get involved personally in an election in Montana. Oh, you listen, if you know people in Montana, you can get involved. You can get involved through social media, but you can get involved by sending a check. And it doesn't have to be a lot. $10. Send $10 today. Send $10 next month. It's a pittance. But if enough of us do it, it will make a difference. You got to stand up, folks. I'm telling you, the battle is on for the heart and soul of America. We wouldn't even be able to have this battle had Trump not been elected. But his election did not, it was not the end of the battle. It was really the beginning of the battle. We now have an opportunity to dismantle the insidious progressive poison pills that have been injected into us and our body corporate politic, our body politic, for the last 40 years by just about every president, but particularly by Lyndon Johnson, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama. Particularly by Barack Obama. But you got to have the people who believe in what we believe, who believe in what the red states, the flyover country, believe in Congress so that they vote accordingly. Not a Senator Flake who is absolutely retching from Arizona, or John McCain who is, oh my God, I have so lost respect for him. Or Elisa Murkowski up there in Alaska. I mean, I could go on. The list is pretty long. This is really important. Put your money where your mouth is. Stand up, take a stand, and do something. Don't wring your hands and look at your friends bleary-eyed over a beer and complain. Do something. Send $10. Send $10 every month from now to November 18th. It'll be the best $150 over that 18 months you ever spent. And get your friends to do the same. Get 10 other people to do it. And get them to get 10 other people to do it. Okay? Your country is at stake. Your freedoms are at stake. And your values are at stake. And I might add, the future of your children's children is at stake. So check that politics section every week from now on. It'll take you like 3 minutes to breeze through it and see what's going on. And to find out, see who you want to contribute to. All right, the next thing is, there's been a study. You know, everybody's hand-wringing. Oh my God, the wall's going to cost so much money. I mean, this is the Democrats, right? The progressives. Who've run up $10 trillion in debt in 8 years, more than all the other presidents combined. More debt in 8 years than the 230 years previous. Now they're worried suddenly about spending a couple $1 billion on the wall. I mean, you got to laugh. It makes you puke, really. And they talk about how this is such a waste of money. Well, listen, I did a show on this. And I don't know exactly when it was. I'm kind of out of the studio. I don't have all my research materials since I'm on the road. But if you type in immigration or cost of immigration, you'll find that show. It was three or four months ago. And I went down, and there's actually an article with a chart that shows how much each state is spending on illegal immigrants. And then, of course, we have legal immigrants. And then, of course, we have refugees, which Barack Obama managed to increase to 500,000 into this country during his term. And in a pretty new study, basically the 519,018 refugees have been resettled by the federal government in the United States since October 2009. Gee, what happened to... Oh, that's right. Barack Obama took office. $4.1 billion, folks. $4.1 billion. That's what is being spent annually on those 519,000 refugees, Obama's pals, and he hopes his future voters. It is estimated that even if Trump gets this shut down entirely, refugees will cost the United States $3.5 billion in 2018 and $2 to $3 billion annually thereafter until at least fiscal year 2022 and beyond. That is 8% of the total annual fiscal impact of first-generation immigrants to the United States. 8%. Since 2011, it is estimated, and if you take, this is taking everything, health care, resettlement, you know, welfare, you name it, everything, education, it's estimated that these refugees have cost us approximately $57.4 billion over Obama's term. $57.4 billion. Now, you know, if you can build a wall, if you can stop the refugee flow, and that doesn't include illegal immigration, okay? Illegal immigration has cost us another $29 billion that we know of. Remember, we don't know who all the illegal immigrants are. We don't even know how many we have for a whole bunch of reasons, most of them on purpose by the progressives. We're talking $60 to $80 billion, folks. Almost $100 billion. Now, if the wall costs $25 billion to build, and by the way, that's a high number. I'm taking the highest of the estimates. Sounds like to me it pays for itself pretty damn quick. What do you think? You bet. All right. By the way, this study, which was by the Center for Immigration Studies, which is nonpartisan, in the first 5 years, each refugee just from the Middle East, they just studied a few of the countries. I think it was Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, yes, Syria, Turkey, and Yemen. Just from those countries. Each refugee from those countries in their first 5 years in the United States costs us $64,370, which, by the way, gee, I don't think you'll be surprised, is 1,200% the estimate of the United Nations. The United Nations says it costs 1/12 of what it really costs, and that we're just so mean, we're such meanies not to take in more refugees. Now think about what this is doing to Europe, and I think you understand why Europe's getting destabilized. Now, let's go over some other things here. Here is, and all these articles are posted below. You can read them at your leisure, and you should. They're classed under the various categories, ranging from loony left to treason to swamp, you name it. But I'm just going to run down some headlines for you, because, wow, unbelievable. There's an article here on the military called Disturbing, and it has to do with Obama ransacking our military and the decreased lack of readiness, which has resulted in some of these ship accidents. There's been four accidents involving warships in the last 6 months. That's never happened before. There's a reason for it. Barack Obama decimating the military is the reason for it, folks. There's a great article under treason about the Antifa. And exactly who they are, who's funding them, what they do, and what they want. There's a terrific article about, several articles actually, about a pending Second Civil War. That's why I talked about what a Civil War really is. This really would be a Civil War. This really would be the battle for control of the government. Not a war fought to establish a new and different and separate government. Big difference. And there's another article which goes over what the Second Civil War might look like. And it concludes that it wouldn't be like, you know, armies on either side and all that kind of stuff. It would really be the United States kind of balkanizing itself. The Balkans were European countries that split into all these little countries. And very interesting history over there in Europe. So that article should be read. And I believe it's posted, might be posted under Family Safety. There's a number of articles on the alt-left smashing more monuments, including Christopher Columbus and de Blasio in New York wanting to take down the Christopher. I mean, I just don't get it. And sure enough, even faster than I thought and I projected last week, I told you where this was going to go. Al Sharpton is now calling for the Jefferson Memorial to be taken down. Both the Jefferson and Washington Memorials have been vandalized here in the last week since my last show. One of the loony alt-left mouthpieces has suggested not only taking down the Jefferson and Washington memorials, but sandblasting, and I happen to be in South Dakota, so this is apropos, sandblasting Mount Rushmore. And they're serious. This is not a joke. So once again, the alt-left shows its colors, right? And what are they going to do after they sandblast Mount Rushmore and take down the Jefferson and Washington memorials? They're going to say, oh, you know, that document that those nasty guys whose monuments we just tore down, that document they drafted, the Constitution, that can't be legitimate. You bet. I have a bunch of articles under Media Mess. You need to read those every week. This will tell you how out of control, how untruthful most of the mainstream media is, and at some of these stories just shake your head. For instance, there's a story about Don Lemon. Don Lemon saying that Trump is trying to ignite, that's his exact words, trying to ignite a civil war. That was after Trump's rally this past week. Oh, you'll love this. Yeah, I have a couple articles on this. So, the Black Lives Matter folks who accuse alt-left people, which are the Nazis, listen to my show last week. The Nazis are not alt-right. The Nazis are alt-left. National Socialist Democratic Party. That's what the Nazis are. Black Lives Matter now demands that white people, all those nasty white people, relinquish their houses to black people. Reparations. If you go back, if you type in the word reparations into the search bar, you will see that 3 or 4 years ago, I was telling you that Barack Obama was silently fueling, in certain portions of the black community, this victim mentality, which would in the end result in at least demands for, if not certain types of, reparations. Here we are, folks. Here, I mean, I'm just a poor old hayseed from Wyoming. You know, 2 plus 2 is 4 and water runs downhill. But some of this stuff is so clear, it like slaps you in the face like a dead fish. It really does. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Here's a few more for you. Now they're trying to find out what those two former Pakistani aides, I've done shows on this too, type Debbie Wasserman Schultz in the search bar, exactly how much information they really stole from congressmen and from the House Intelligence Committee And where they really sent it and how much they really got paid for it, that's how nasty this is going to get. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is in big trouble. And I don't mean just political trouble. I'm talking about legal trouble, particularly with Jeff Sessions in the Justice Department. It's come to light, by the way, that the quote-unquote neo-Nazis, who are alt-left, not alt-right, it seems that some of the organization of this neo-Nazi deal in Charlottesville was by, well, imagine this, folks who actually were Obama trolls. I mean, voted for and gave money to Obama. I think there's a little red herring stuff going on. Mitt Romney. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Look under the swamp section for this. Mitt Romney comes out and supports Antifa. Antifa, whatever you want to call it. The Fa people. That's what I'll call them from now on. The Fa people. The ACLU has now decided that they will no longer defend First Amendment rights. Remember, that's their whole stated goal and purpose. If the First Amendment rights have anything to do with Second Amendment rights, you know, trust the left to figure out something to turn the clear into the opaque, right? Oh, under Loony Left, Civil War reenactors hit with pepper spray in North Carolina. There was actually a big Civil War reenactor. This is terrific for kids, for people, for schools. These Civil War reenactments, you have Confederate reenactors and the Union reenactors who reenact a battle. I mean, can you know how valuable that is for young people to watch kind of living history? And there's no, you know, there's no political in this. It is the reenactment of a historical fact. Enacted, reenacted in a historically accurate manner. They were pepper sprayed by Loony Left, had to cancel their whole reenactment. Think about that. Wow. Unbelievable. CNN publishes a map of all the Confederate monuments in the United States, 1,500 of them. Gee, what do you think they're trying to accomplish? Maybe Don Lemon put it together, huh? There's an article under immigration you should definitely read. It's what's happening in Canada now. Remember, they have a prime minister up there who's a progressive Fruit Loop, who actually paid an Islamic terrorist who killed American soldiers, was convicted of and admitted to being a terrorist, and was held at Guantanamo. And I put, these articles are like 4 or 5 weeks ago. Without a court trial, without any public input, Trudeau ordered the Canadian government to pay this guy over $8 million in damages for the terrible way he was treated at Guantanamo. You can't make this up. You can't make this up. And with this moron running Canada, this poster boy for the left running Canada, it now seems that all the illegal aliens in the United States who have figured out that Trump is coming to get them are now flowing, and this includes Middle Eastern illegal aliens, of which there are thousands and thousands of thousands who've come across the southern border under Obama, are now fleeing north into Canada. Fascinating article on what's going on up there, particularly in small Canadian border towns. I mean, read it. It is a real eye-opener. Nobody is talking about it. Zero. Nada. Nobody but me. It's going to create a big problem in the future between Canada and the United States. I guarantee you. There's a great article under international about Europe now being lost to Islamists and the chief rabbis of several countries in Europe urging Jewish people in Europe to flee Europe, go to the United States or go to Israel. That's how dire they think the circumstances are over there. Then we have an article on in politics about rhinos being on their way out, which goes right back again to what I was talking about under politics. That is true conservative challengers rising up to knock out these rhinos like Flake and Murkowski and others. There is a, the loony left. The loony left tried to bomb a monument, but they were so loony they didn't get it done. That's an article worth reading, and that's under loony left. Then, under Constitution, it seems that PayPal is now getting into the political act, along with Starbucks and Target and a whole bunch of idiot other corporations who really don't get what the majority of Americans think about this. Yeah, PayPal has now banned any anti-jihadi or the transfers of money related to any anti-jihadi or anti-Islamist merchandise. Pretty amazing. There's kind of a cool thing under Swamp. A great viral video of a black gal slamming the media for creating like a fake race deal here in the United States. Then there is a ultra left, well, I'm not sure it's ultra left. It might be moderately left the way this is going on the left. A magazine with a pretty wide readership who says that white, this is another kind of form of reparations, you know, kill yourself so there's more room for us type thing, and that way we get your house too. They think that white people, all white women, should abort their babies because, you know, there's just too many of you white folks around. You racist white folks, you should all abort your babies. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, it's like the alt-left calling us fascists. That is the analogy for a supposedly non-racist publication calling us racists and telling us to abort all our children because we are the racists. Okay, love it. Here's some good news. Federal judge orders IRS to reveal the identities who targeted conservative applicants for tax-exempt status. That deal is still coming, folks. You'll see, before this is over, on that whole IRS targeting thing, remember Lois Lerner pleading the fifth with that smug little face, now retired, getting a pension from you and I, right, through the government and our taxes? I mean, it just makes you want to puke. That is not going away. There's some people that are going to go down for that, and they should, because it's treason. It's not even a felony. It's treason. Then there's a Washington Post article. Throw rocks and riot. You really need to see that. It was also on last week's show, by the way. So, you see, there are, and listen, I'm not even denning the articles that we have this week. You should, you know, if you listen to my show, I really believe this. If you listen to my show and you even skim a portion of the articles that catch your interest under not even all, just some of the various categories that we post every week, number one, not only will you see verified support for the dots I give you in the radio show, but you will be better informed than 99.9% of all Americans, and that includes, with a few exceptions, our elected representatives, who are not informed about anything but their own prospects. That's all many of them care about. There's exceptions, but they are few and far between. Yes, they are. So, I'm going to close, folks. Once again, I'm keeping this show a little bit shorter. The AM stations can fill in and already have plans to fill in since they were forewarned. You folks on the podcast and on the website, I just want to extol you again to keep your eyes and ears open for a place to donate to help out our fellow Americans down there in Texas. The full extent, you know, this is Saturday morning. This event's been going on since, I guess, yesterday afternoon, Friday afternoon. And it looks like it's going to go on, according to the weather folks, at least another 3 or 4 or 5 days because of these really, really unusual weather conditions. Keep your eyes open as to where you can help these people out. The only place I know of right now is the Red Cross, but there may be other places coming up too. But our countrymen are going to need us. Yes, they are. And you know what? I, for one, will be there to help. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Next week, finally, I'm going to have that report to you on the 10 most insolvent states in the United States and why, if you're a resident there, you want to get the hell out. Have a great week and a safe week. And you people down there in Texas, Godspeed to you.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.